It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning, everyone. I'm really excited about today's show. This is my second show back, and it means the world to me. I got my great friends, Dr. Glenn Goldstein and Dr. Zach Goldstein, coming right here from Morris County, New Jersey. These guys have been doing it right for many years. And the show is really the journey of giving. And I was thinking about who I want to bring back on the show or have new folks come on. I was thinking about these gentlemen in the world of dentistry, making the world better, not just here in Morris County, but they're doing a lot of things throughout our great country to really help others in need. We're going to explore with them remote area medical. I have to ask him about the father-son dichotomy, that relationship, the good doctors. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Leonard. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, guys. You know, great. First of all, thank you for coming in today. You know, Dr. Glenn and Zach. Zach, you weren't on last time. I had the great honor having your dad on, and we didn't have the benefit of going live on Facebook, where people can actually see the handsome specimen, Dr. Glenn Goldstein. Yeah. In fact, which is one of the shocks of the day to start out, is I saw him in the parking lot at, you know, WDHA, WMTR, 1250 AM, and I saw the whole Rutgers regalia. But for some reason, which I understand now why, he's not donning that ensemble, but he's got Remote Area Medical Expedition 1000. And when I thought of 1,000, I'm thinking it might have done 1,000 push-ups just to get ready for the show.
Yeah.
So, Zach, you weren't on last time, yeah. So I don't know. I have to kind of, you know, warm you into the whole idea of coming on the Todd Leonard Show. Did you listen to the last episode?
Listen to the recording.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to make sure your dad had sent me a message last night. Does Zach need to do anything to get ready? I said I figured he'd memorize, you know, his last appearance. So it's wonderful that you both are on today. So, gentlemen, for the listeners that don't know too much about your area of specialty, Dr. Glenn Goldstein, I know you have an accomplished career in dentistry. You've been a dentist for how many years, Doc?
Too many to count. Actually, 35.
The years have been extraordinarily kind to you, I just want to say.
You're too kind. Your vision is okay, Todd?
Actually, I don't have my glasses on. So I wanted to understand, you know, you picked dentistry, and I'm always interested in why people pick a career. You know, I was blessed to work with my late dad, and he was a tremendous trial lawyer, and I wanted to follow in his footsteps. How did you get involved in dentistry?
Well, good question, Todd. When I entered Rutgers University back in the 80s, my initial track was medical school. So I took all the prerequisite pre-med courses, and very quickly I found out how hard things were. So did okay, but, you know, struggled a little bit, and a bunch of classmates of mine were pursuing dentistry. And they said, have you ever thought about dentistry? And I said, no. So I said, okay, well, maybe that's an option. So the nice thing about the dental option was that the criteria to get in was a little bit less at the time. So I continued on with pre-med, and then as the years progressed, I volunteered at the local hospital and in the dental clinic just to see what it was like. Became friendly with one of the residents, and, you know, he kind of walked me through things. And so at the end of the day, I just decided, you know, let me apply to both. Let me let somebody else make the decision. I don't want to ever look back someday and say, shoulda, coulda, woulda, didn't. So I prepared for the MCATs, the DATs, took both, did great on the DATs, which is the dental aptitude tests. MCATs didn't do so well. Got in to every dental school except for two, which I wouldn't have gone anyway, Harvard and UPenn, and no medical school. So somebody else made the decision for me, and that's how I ended up where I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I was thinking about, so you gentlemen are right, you know, you're based in Randolph, New Jersey. That's where your practice is, and you've been doing it for so long. Dr. Zach Goldstein. So I always ask folks, you know, how did you get on your path professionally? We're going to talk about how you guys are making the world better and lifting up the world and the community. And that's really the heart of the show and the genesis of the show. But when I was thinking about it, I thought about my life a little bit and how I watched my dad as a young kid. And I saw everything he was doing. I had so much love and respect. And he was my hero. How did you get involved in dentistry?
Ever since I was a little kid, I was always obsessed with science. And as I got older, high school, college, trying to figure out how to make a career out of that, I'm thinking, what am I going to do that makes sense? At that point, I started working at his office kind of on breaks, you know, during high school and during winter break, summer break, college. And I saw how dentistry was a nice mix of science, but also kind of an art, and you're also helping people at the same time. So to me, it seemed like a very fulfilling career and something that would, you know, interest me in the sense of the sciences. So I think that's what got me on that track. Started doing the pre-med route in college and fared very well with that. So
awesome.
That's how it started.
Okay, God bless you. So, you know, people still to this very day, I'm a little bit older than you, slightly younger than your handsome dad, the good Dr. Goldstein. But nonetheless, I have to say, people still ask, hey, Todd, how'd you get involved in being a lawyer? And do you get those questions and people ask you, why'd you pick dentistry?
All the time, yeah.
Right. And is it like the response you just gave today, kind of like something you saw your dad doing and you fell in love with it?
Yeah. And, you know, it helps that I was exposed to it from a very young age. You know, obviously, I think dentistry is a very family oriented business. You know, so many of my classmates had somebody in the field, whether it was a father, mother, grandfather, uncle. So I think a lot of people that get involved in that profession have some sort of relation to it.
Yeah. So I can remember like it was yesterday. I miss my parents every day. And I remember, you know, going to the office and my dad and I loved him dearly. But I mean, we had our moments, you know. So what, Dr. Glenn Goldstein, you've been in the business a long time. You're new. Mm-hmm. Your son is relatively, you know, new to the industry. You've been in 35 years or so. Has Dr. Zach added some new vitality to your practice, new innovative techniques, new ways to treat the patients?
I wouldn't say he's added any innovations, but he's done some – he does things that now I don't have to do. And slowly but surely, he's picking up on some of the advanced techniques that I do. The difference is that he doesn't have to go spend a weekend in some location to learn how to do procedure XYZ. I could show him right here in the office. So as time goes on, he's picking up more. You know, the basics he got in dental school, which I must say, I was pretty impressed with how well-trained he was, but I shouldn't be because it's where I went to school. And I came out feeling very ready. But as time goes on, he's doing more of the things that, you know, the basic things and now that I don't do. And I just stick to more of the advanced things.
Yeah. So what's it like, though, Dr. Glenn, when you see your son and you toiling together in the office? How does that make you feel?
It's kind of crazy. I mean, you know, I got pictures on the wall of him when he was a couple years old. I got a picture of him when he was 12, us on a shark dive. And now I look over and he's a friggin' doctor. I mean, it's amazing. It's just awesome. Just blows you away to see that.
And Dr. Zach, when you're in the office and you see the patients that have been treated by your dad for so many years, how does that make you feel?
It's crazy. There's a lot of people who have been coming to him for, you know, 20 plus years, and they have a great relationship. You know, when one of his long-term patients comes in, even if he's not treating them and I'm treating them, he'll step out of the office, come say hi. So there's a lot of camaraderie there.
Okay. And let's talk now. And one of the reasons why I wanted the listeners to have the benefit of your background and your passion to help your patients, and you've been doing it so well for all these years, is at some point, Dr. Glenn Goldstein,
yes, sir,
you decided that you want to give back. You want to help others. You want to make the world a better place. Because when I think about as I've gotten older and I get a little more perspective on life, and I probably have a midlife crisis like most folks my age about 3 days a week, probably according to my wife, maybe 8 days a week, but it's pretty regularly. Where I
still haven't acted on it yet, but I'm waiting. You need to get something.
I'm waiting. I'm almost there. But you do like, you know me a little too well. Yeah. But the point is that at some point, when did you realize that you want to get involved? You want to lift up others?
Well, you know, Todd, I think as you go along, your first part of your career, you're focused on establishing yourself, getting out of debt, paying your bills, you know, getting from underwater, you know. And then once you do, you realize that there's two things that you should do. One is to, A, give back to those who are less fortunate, and B, to teach others what you know, because someday you're not going to be here. You need to pass that information on to other people.
Okay. And what was the first thing that you can recall that once you got yourself stabilized and started to at least be able to pay your debt? Because I know everybody's students especially have huge debts. What was the first thing that you got involved in?
First thing was a program called Donated Dental, which is right here in New Jersey. It's same idea as people that don't have resources to get treatment. They'll apply to Donated Dental. And of course, they have to have a certain level of income and, you know, issues that don't allow them to afford. And then they're assigned a dental office, of course, one who has been willing to volunteer. Okay. So I've been doing that for, I don't know, 25 or 30 years.
And where do you go somewhere? Where do you go to do it?
No, patients come to me. So they contact me. They'll send me a letter saying we have a patient, Mary Jones. She's got, you know, these disabilities. She's on Social Security. She's got no teeth, or she has a lot of pain or whatever. Would you be willing to see her? That's how it works.
And in terms of that commitment for about a quarter century, how does that make you feel that you've been so committed to Donated Dental services?
I got to tell you, Todd, you know, it's just like when I'm down in Tennessee with Ram. The people that you treat and you're doing it gratis, the appreciation that they have for you is like nothing else. When they look you in the eye and they say, thank you for what you've done for me, I really appreciate it. I mean, it's heartfelt and, you know, it's deep. And that's better than anything. That's better than someone coming in and paying for my services, believe it or not.
So, Dr. Zach Goldstein, I wanted to get your thoughts. I was, you know, preparing for the show. I know it's going to be rigorous between you and the good Dr. Glenn. And I was thinking of the importance of a smile. You know, folks, you know, take it for granted. What are your thoughts on the importance of a smile?
It's everything. It's the first thing that people look at. So, you know, a lot of people down in Tennessee, for example, they don't even have the means to maintain a smile, and they're just thankful to have their teeth taken out. Whereas here, if we have the slightest imperfection in our teeth, it really affects our life. So it's a whole different world between what goes on here in private practice, what goes on down there.
Right. So one of the things that we're totally going to spend a lot of time on now, and thank you for the segue, both Dr. Glenn and Dr. Zach, is they brought up Tennessee, the volunteer state.
Sure.
And I want to talk about remote area medical for the folks, the listeners, Dr. Glenn Goldstein, that aren't familiar with remote area medical. I know we had a little Facebook promotion about it. I know we had you on the show a few years ago. It was an eye-opener for me. I didn't know about remote area medical. I didn't know the wonderful man Stan Brock was, the late Stan Brock. Can you tell us a little bit, Dr. Glenn, about Stan Brock and remote area medical, when you first learned about it?
Sure. Be happy to, Todd. And just before I even start, there's a great documentary out there if anybody's interested in learning more about Stan, his life story. It's called The Medicine Man. And I believe you can just YouTube it now, but it pretty much documents. And I watch it because I didn't know as much as I knew about Stan, but he's a pretty interesting guy. How I got exposed. It was, I was watching one of my favorite shows, 60 Minutes, probably 12 or 13 years ago, and they had a story. Scott Pelley was interviewing Stan Brock, and they were at a mission, they could call it, in California, and there was it was a story about giving away free medical care, free dental care. And Stan talked about how, you know, his organization provides care for those around the world. That's why they call it remote. So in prior years, Stan would go into other countries. He was a pilot, DC-3. And he would go into remote areas of Haiti or wherever country was having a problem, and they would parachute in. But then he started to see how much need there was in the United States of America. So I watched the story, and I was pretty much blown away. I was like, I couldn't believe, you know, there was just thousands of people lined up. And essentially, you line up, you get a number to get in. And if you don't have the right number, you don't get in. So people will literally come to the clinic a day or two before and sleep in their car. And I said, you know, this is so of course, one of the components of remote area medical was dental. So I said, you know what? I am going to get into this organization.
And how long ago was that, Doc? That's
about 12, 13 years ago.
Well, God bless you for being involved. Have you been involved all these past 12 years, giving back to remote area medical?
Every year. So not only do I get, I also donate dollars to the organization, but I've been, this last year was my 12th year.
Well, that's amazing. And you go down to Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Okay. And for those to understand the commitment of Dr. Glenn Goldstein, but 12 years ago, we started with remote area medical. Do you have to pay your own way down there? How do you fund your trip down to Tennessee?
So, yeah, correct. So you do have to fund your own way. So for all these years at various times, it was myself, my son, Dr. Zach, my son, Greg, my daughter, Rachel. Hi, guys. We actually, you know, I buy them plane tickets. We would rent a car. Of course, remote area medical actually secured rooms. And there's a hotel down there called the Hampton Inn on Platt Road that actually donates the whole hotel for the weekend for people to stay. But essentially, yeah, we have to pay our own way. They provide, you know, breakfast and lunch if you're into that kind of southern food. But yeah, essentially we pay our own way.
Yeah, well, that's really a major commitment. Dr. Zach, your dad brought up the fact that you've also been involved with remote area medical. When did you first hear about remote area medical?
Well, we were actually talking about this recently. He was saying it's been 12 years for him. He's like, how long has it been for you? And I told him 9 years, and he was shocked. But we started going, my brother and I think the first year I was a sophomore in college. So that's the first time I heard about it. He said, you know, you guys you should check this out, especially if you want to go into the dental profession, see what's going on here. Because that was, I guess, his third year already. So I've been doing it for 9 years. The first 7 years or so was just kind of general support because I wasn't a dentist yet, just doing what I can and just observing. And then the last 2 years, I've been able to provide care, which is a whole, you know, it's much more fulfilling and it's awesome.
Yeah, you guys are both awesome to make that commitment with Gregory and also Rachel. I think that's a wonderful family affair. Dr. Glenn Goldstein, for those that are listening, if they want to reach you and discuss, you know, remote area medical, how they can get involved, what's the best way to do that?
Well, the best way is to just go onto their website. It's ramusa.org and just say volunteer. Now, one of the things that I must bring up, and one of the things that I was faced with when I originally, you might ask me, why did I go to Tennessee? Well, believe it or not, and this is one of the things that we could get into in detail later, but, you know, in the United States, there's only 12 states, I believe, that allow doctors to cross borders and treat people gratis with their license from their home state. The other states do not allow you to enter.
How about in New Jersey?
No.
So I know when we had the great privilege of having you on last time, you mentioned the fact that you were trying your best to get, you know, New Jersey behind the idea of passing some legislation
yes.
to permit this. And I understand that's one of your promises, right, to the late Stan Brock, that you're going to
Correct.
Hopefully make that happen.
Correct.
All right. So, you know, researching, you know, the show and thinking about, you know, the late Stan Brock, I never had the great honor of meeting him, but he made a statement, and I just want to read it to both of you and get your thoughts, because I thought it was kind of poignant. It says, when together we treat a patient, we change a life. When we treat hundreds of patients, we transform a community. When we transform a community, we can change the health of our nation. One RAM clinic at a time. Dr. Zach, what are your thoughts about that? Because that really resonated with me when I thought about how one person can really start to change the world. What were your thoughts?
I think that's true, but there is such a need out there that I don't even think we understand, because we do this year after year after year, and there's still thousands of people lined up every single year coming from different states. So I think that is true, but it really needs to expand in order to fulfill the need that's out there, particularly in that area of the country.
Right. So, Dr. Zach, when you went on your first mission with your dad 9 years ago, what was that like? You know, you're packing your stuff up, you're getting ready, you're going to go to a different state. How did you feel?
I didn't know what to expect. And, it was basically you got to get up at 4:45 in the morning and show up and spend all day there. I'm like, what are we going to do for 14 hours? And, once I got in there and saw what was going on, it was the first year was shocking, just to see the issues that these people have. It's not something you would see around here in Mars County. And it's a shock. You know, it's something that you have to get accustomed to. And I think going year after year, you do get accustomed to that. But this year, my fiance, Deirdre, she came along.
Congratulations, Dr.
Thank
Zach.
So every year I go, I tell her stories and send her pictures. She says, I want to come down and help out. So having her come for her first year, getting, you know, seeing her react the same way I did 9 years ago was something kind of special.
That's really special what you guys are doing. Really, once again, it's a family affair. Dr. Glenn Goldstein, so let's go back in time, if I may, like 12, 13 years
Can't
ago.
Can't think that far back, Tom. Sorry.
You got a pretty good
Any
memory.
Notes for me or anything?
I'll give you a I saw you jot something down. I was sending you text messages all last night, making sure the good doctor was ready to rock and roll.
I'm ready.
Well, I know you're ready. He said it's showtime. Showstopper, the good Dr. Glenn Goldstein. But, Doc, what... You watched a 60-minute show,
yes.
And your new favorite show, if you'll permit, will be the Todd Leonard Show, because, I mean, I felt a little slighted, but, you know, the
this
show
episode,
wasn't,
of course.
Well, it goes without saying. But I know this is riveting. But the point is that when you were going to, you know, do your first mission, mm-hmm. And I know in life when you try something new, it's scary. You're not sure. You know, I had my great friends on last week about volunteerism. And, you know, I said, whatever turns you on, whatever your thing is. So you knew you had talent in dentistry, but you made a decision to really go in the unknown, right?
Sure.
You took the path less traveled because you're going to take your first trip down to Tennessee. You saw something on TV, but what was it like? You're packing your bags. Your beautiful, lovely wife, Donna, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention your wife.
Sure,
and you would be in trouble if you didn't also.
Hi, Donna.
Right. So the point is, when you said to your wife and your wonderful family, I'm going to be going down to Tennessee. I'm going to volunteer my time. What was that feeling like for you?
As far as when I got there?
No. When you're packing your valise. I don't know if you bring your dumbbells. I don't know what goes on with your whole itinerary. But what when you're packing everything up, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking the same thing. I have no idea what to expect. You know, I mean, I went into this just I saw this thing on TV, and then I went down with a colleague friend of mine who I told I was going. He said, I want to go too. And this was actually in a different location. So for the last 11 years, we've been going to Knoxville. same building. This one was actually in Anderson County, Tennessee. So we got there on a Friday, and basically they took over like a gymnasium and a church. So I was initially amazed at what the transformation. I mean, they actually literally come in with 18-wheelers, and they literally cover the floor, bring the equipment in. You know, dental, you have water lines, compressed air lines. They literally run all this stuff, and they had a big truck outside with a compressor. So it's kind of amazing just to see what they did. Of course, then when we started treating patients, I was just like Dr. Zach over here, was in shock with what I saw. Practicing in the Northeast, you know, you see dental problems. But down here, this is, you know, people rampant. So in this Anderson County, this is the meth capital of the world, believe it or not. So the people that I was seeing, their teeth were literally just all black and rotted down to nothing. It was very shocking to me to see that.
Yeah, I mean, this is something, right? And Dr. Zach, I think you had said how shocked you were. Mm-hmm. Was that part of it, just seeing the level of the decay? And if I may, in the greatest country in the world, United States of America, right here in Tennessee, you had a situation where you're seeing local citizens with that level of teeth decay and unfortunately all the other ancillary problems. What was that going through your, what was going through your mind?
I mean, it's every tooth rotted. Not everyone, but a lot of people, the whole mouth, basically all their teeth need to come out. And it takes a long time to get that way, and it takes a lot of abuse through diet and drugs or whatever it is. So it is shocking to see in the United States that type of issue.
Right. So, Dr. Zach, when you went down for your first visit, do you bring your own gear? Is the gear supplied in terms of the dental instruments?
The only thing I bring is my magnifying glasses. The rest is brought in. I don't know who donates it. I think it's Henry Schein or one of the companies.
Well, it's donated by a lot of people.
So they set up a makeshift clinic, you know, dental chairs. We're all standing. They have a sterilization center. They have a whole long table with instruments that they supply. So we just bring ourselves and our glasses.
Right.
Basically.
Well, we're going to take a very short break. We'll be back in 30 seconds with this really important discussion about giving back with the Dr. Goldsteins in remote area medical. We'll be right back.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. We have Dr. Glenn Goldstein and Dr. Zach Goldstein, incredible dentist right here in Randolph, New Jersey. And we're really privileged to have them join us this morning and talk about all their commitment to remote area medical and making the world better. And obviously talking about the unique father and son bond and relationship over the many years. Gentlemen, we were just touching on, you know, remote area medical in Tennessee and what you were saying when you arrived for the first time. I want to get a better feel for the listeners. The feeling you gentlemen get when you see not just you and your beautiful expertise in giving back, but the other volunteers and the relationships that you've built over the years. Because one of the things when you start to volunteer, you meet some wonderful people. And that's one of the things that I found over my many years of trying to do my best to give back. So Dr. Glenn Goldstein, tell us about some of the relationships you form with the folks down in Tennessee who are basically part of the team, part of the mission each year. What is that like?
Oh, it's great. So, you know, first mission was Anderson County, and I was just getting ready to set up, and I assumed that I was going to work alone, and this young lady walks up to me, says, "Hi, I'm Donna May. Would you like an assistant?" I'm like, "Yeah, of course." So Donna May assisted me throughout that first mission. Donna May was an incredible assistant. I mean, she's just like this. So Donna May and I became friends. And Donna Mae and I are friends to this day, and I've been to her house, and she's, you know, she's done dinner for me and the crew, and she's been up to the New York area, and she's gone out to dinner with me and my family. So we've been friends ever since. She's fantastic. I love Donna Mae. And then, of course, there's others like Sherry and her boyfriend Bart. We're friendly as well. And, of course, I became, through the years, I became friendly with Stan. And we had a little thing going on, you know, as we were trying to bring the mission up to New Jersey, Stan and I became email buddies. So
wonderful. Great. And Dr. Zach, how about you? I mean, obviously, I know you're there with your dad. You guys are the dynamic duo here from the Garden State.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
Same
dynamic
thing.
Duo.
I got the pleasure of meeting all these very friendly, nice people. Every time we're down there, we go out to dinner. It's a great time. Same familiar faces at the clinic every year. Some people my age who are also were in dental school going through the same process as me, who are now dentists doing the treatment. Even sometimes seeing the same patients again. Sometimes people show up 2 years in a row and you see the same people come through the door. So it's fun to go down there. You know, everyone, even if you don't know someone, there's a sense of camaraderie because of the mission that you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, what's that spirit like of all these volunteers really lending a hand up to help those less fortunate, to give them a smile again or give them some relief from the pain? Because I think we all can relate to when you're having a bad toothache or that tooth isn't right, how horrible, how painful it is. You know, people go bananas.
It's like childbirth.
Well,
it's childbirth pain.
You seem like a little
too on that scale.
Now hold on,
yeah.
No, but I've seen it happen.
The doctor. This is a PG show. My little guys can be listening, so we don't.
My little guys.
We don't really want to go there, but you see, Dr. Zach, this is what I was worried
about.
There's
an actual scale of pain, and one of the highest pain levels is childbirth, and then right below that is a toothache.
It's not
something I made up.
No, I understand, you know, the significant nature of the pain. Just the way you stated it,
I gotcha. It
came out a little bit unorthodox, okay. But that's fine.
You can't beat me?
So Dr. Zach, I wanted to get your perspective. So you've been giving back now for many years, and you're a relatively young man. I'm a little jealous. I mean, we can't go back in time. We have to work.
A few years older than me, but.
Thank you. Don't be mean-spirited. But the point is that you've already been doing this for years. And I was thinking about, you know, how to best describe Dr. Glenn and Dr. Zach Goldstein. And it is really it's really a legacy of excellence, right? You see your dad, he's putting the time in. He's not doing it for the pat on the back. He didn't know about the Todd Leonard show, so he didn't know, you know, the massive press he would get from it. But the point is that you've been doing this for many years now. Is it impacting your relationships, not just with your fiance, but with others where you have a certain level of pride that you didn't have until you got involved?
I don't necessarily know about that, but it does put things into perspective a little bit more, especially around the time that you do it. You know, you come back to reality and you start to realize how good you have it compared to some other people and how you worry about trivial things that other people don't worry about. So in that sense, yes. But I think you were asking before what I forget the question you asked me before we went on the tangent there about what it's like down there. I mean, it's long, grueling days, especially when you're now that I'm providing the care, I realize how much harder it is than providing the general support, but it's very fulfilling because the people are so thankful for, you know, you're taking their teeth out. That's all you're doing. And they couldn't be happier. They're crying, a lot of them. So.
Right. So in terms of the grueling, you know, day, you both are in outstanding shape. I was invited to the Dr. Goldstein pool. I mean, it's wonderful. The temperature, I might add, I have to say, I'd be remiss. It is toasty in there. Oh, exactly. For those who don't know Yiddish, I mean, it is a very, very warm pool. It's almost like a spa.
Yeah.
It's like a hot tub.
Yeah.
I don't pay the gas bill. God bless you for that.
It's been low the last couple of years, but right. I don't think anymore.
No, the energy price
We'll see what happens
steeper.
This year.
But the point is, I know these are long days, so I just want the audience to understand, like, what the mission is. So you're leaving like you just came back not that long ago. Dr. Glenn, tell us about the itinerary. I mean, in terms of, you know, if I recall, you actually drove down to Tennessee, right?
Well, yeah, this year we did.
Right. So what's the hours like? Like, you pack up your one of these super sports cars, I'm guessing.
Pack it up.
And then, like, what time do you leave?
So normally we would fly. Okay. So years ago when this thing first started, it was one flight out on a Thursday night to Tennessee, Tyson Airport, okay? And it was very rare that these flights would take off on time. We're talking about February, right? So we got rain, we got snow, we got snow, we got snow. So a lot of times these flights were delayed. We would not get in to Tennessee, then get the rental car, then drive to the hotel. We would get in sometimes 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, and then get up at 0:30, like 5:30 the next morning to get to the clinic. So in the beginning, you know, they wanted you there early for orientational, sort of stuff. So you're literally there. No, you're there about 5:30, 6 a.m. And your first patient's 6:30 a.m. And you're going, you know, and you'll eventually take a little lunch break if you want. But essentially, you just keep going. You know, it's just one after another after another after another. So there have been days that I've been there till 6-7 o'clock at night, depending on the flow. You know, so if people are inside, then, you know, you got to take them. Now it's a little different with COVID. They have less people inside. They have more people outside. So the flow is a little bit slower now to keep. Now, of course, all things are different. They have tents, individual tents. So you use a tent. They come in, they clean it, they spray something, and then they let it sit for a half an hour. But, you know, the days are long. I mean, you can imagine 10, 12, 14 hours, and you're not sitting. You're standing on cold concrete floors. And after the end of the day, your bones are hurting. It's long. And then you go back, eat your dinner, go to sleep, do it again.
Right. That's certainly sounds like a marathon. Now, Dr. Zach, your perspective on it, because, you know, obviously you've been doing it now for many years, and you know you're going down to Tennessee, you're going to get back, but these are long days. This isn't like you just wonder, as beautiful as it is to hang out with your dad. I'm sure you're talking about a lot of things on the way down. Once you're there and you're in the clinic, I mean, this is showtime. This is business. This is really giving back. But these are really long days, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What's going through your mind? Because you know you're giving back, but it's not like, you know, for the squeamish or the weak. I mean, this is a demanding physical endeavor.
You just kind of suck it up. You say it's one weekend. You're going to be low on sleep. You're going to be tired. You finish the first day. You say, all right, one more to go. And that's it. You just do it. But we try to make some fun out of it. You know, we, like I said, we go to dinner. We have some drinks. We try to relax on the downtime. So I enjoy it, although it is physically and mentally taxing.
Can the producer ask a question?
I don't see any reason why not.
You raise your hand first, Ellen.
I did. I actually did raise
my hand. Oh, that was the hand raise.
I have a question for you. The supplies. Do you have to bring the supplies since this is like a donation, or do they actually have the supplies you need there and you just need to provide the services?
Great question, Ellen. So as far as the supplies go, you know, number one, as a fully functioning dentist with a fully functioning office, I have access to every instrument in the world that I use. It makes my job easier. Down there, it's you take what you get, okay? But everything is supplied.
Right, okay.
So they have, you know, they have an area down there where they have all the instruments you would need, whether you're cleaning the teeth, fillings, or extractions, and then they had everything else, Novocaine and, you know, sutures, but all that is donated. So when this organization started way back when, I don't even know, they worked at some very small facility. And over the years, when this thing became real and they started doing fundraising and it became more viable, they actually have a huge, huge warehouse, and they have 18-wheelers lined up, and they have tons, and this is all their stuff is donated, I believe. but they also raise a lot of money now. They have lots of donation. They have campaigns to raise money. So they have. So what do I bring? I bring me. I bring my loops, and I bring maybe a couple of special instruments just that I, you know, when I have a difficult tooth that I know I have a special, I'll bring it with me to have. And, of course, when you go on the airline, sometimes they go through your bags and they see that as a potentially dangerous. Well, yes, in the wrong hands, it could be. But, yeah, so everything is supplied.
Right. So, Dr. Zach, in terms of your involvement, and you heard from your dad a little while ago, we don't have this available here in New Jersey. We don't have it now. And I found that striking because when your dad was on a few years ago and he brought up the subject, I was like, well, this seems like a no-brainer to me. You're having wonderful professionals, very well-skilled, and there's a need. Even in New Jersey, we know, depending on where you live, there's unfortunate folks that need a hand up, and their teeth are neglected. It's just, I don't care who you are, people can neglect their teeth. Yeah. You can be a billionaire, or you can unfortunately be homeless. Your teeth can unfortunately be neglected. What was your reaction when you heard that remote area medical is not available in New Jersey?
A little surprising, but, you know, with New Jersey, you know, there's red tape with everything. I don't know what the laws are. I would imagine that they could do it here with dentists in state, and there's a ton of dentists in New Jersey. There probably are some small things going on, but nothing organized like RAM. I think RAM is probably the most organized dental charity organization in the country, but unfortunately they can't come here. So it's kind of dependent on someone else stepping up, or if RAM could organize something with exclusively New Jersey dentists. But I don't know the politics behind it. That's probably what's holding it back.
Yeah, I know your dad touched on it. And for those listening, Dr. Glenn Goldstein, maybe one of the listeners has a connection in the legislature. Maybe someone has an idea how to break through the logjam to provide these vital services gratis here in the Garden State. Doctor, if they wanted to reach you, what number can they call you at? You have an office number that you can provide?
973-895-7. 995.
Yeah. So, Dr. Glenn Goldstein, that is right now. I know you're very passionate about it. And you've been given so much to remote area medical. And you're a man that strikes me that your word is your bond.
Correct.
And I know you want to make this happen for the late, great Stan Brock, who I wish I had the chance to meet. Is there anything you want to tell the folks listening about your commitment to really try to bring this to New Jersey? Because I know you go to Tennessee, which is wonderful. But being able to have that type of level of volunteerism here in New Jersey, what are your thoughts?
Well, the first place we got to look at is the governor. Governor Murphy, if you're listening, yes, we can have a clinic in New Jersey, but the issue is that nobody can come from out of state to volunteer. They can't use their license here. We can have licensed dentists and physicians from New Jersey, but nowhere else. But in order to make that happen, there's a thing called a waiver. There's a waiver. So a governor can sign a waiver that allows anybody to come in for a particular weekend to make it happen. So I would first appeal to our great Governor Murphy, see if he can get involved here. Number two is finding a facility to do it. Okay? That's another challenge. Back in the day, I spent over 2 years attempting to get this clinic at Rutgers University down in New Brunswick because of the fact that they have facilities and they have parking, and it's, you know, middle of the state. And 2 years of effort ended up no. And I'm not going to discuss the specifics of why it was turned down, but, you know, it's not necessarily red tape, but it is, there are other extraneous factors that prevented it. It was this close to happening, but it didn't. So I appeal to those in power to make it happen. And, you know, I've made a commitment to RAM that I would be the person on the ground here to help. And I bought them, and I even tried the military. I bought them together to try to get this thing to go. But so far, no.
All right, well, let's hope.
Quick question on that. Doesn't Rutgers have, like, the learning school? I mean, they have the, you know, there's University of, you would think that.
Yes. Yes.
That you could tie it into, because they don't, they do medical care like
this? Yes. Yes. You were right.
I'd rather happen to have gone to medical school there. Yeah. Like, why can't they?
Well, I don't want to publicly say what I want to say.
Right.
About why it didn't happen. I'll talk to you later about that. But it's unfortunate that it didn't happen. And it really pissed me off.
Well, let's hope, though, Dr. Glenn Goldstein, we can get this thing back on track and you and so many that feel so passionately about this important cause can really make it happen. Dr. Zach, I want to ask you some questions, not to put you on the hot seat here or the spot, but, you know, the show is about the journey of giving. Mm-hmm. And it's about giving back. It's about making the world better. Now, I know that sounds like a little bit like a cliche or a little bit like, oh, my God, like, you know, am I like fantasy land here, you know? But what's your perspective? What advice would you give the listeners in terms of what you think they should consider if they want to get involved to lift up the community, to lend a hand up?
With regards to RAM or
anything that you picked up over the many years not being involved?
I think in our case, we have a special skill that a lot of people need, and we can provide that. So I think anyone that realizes that there's a need out there and they have a skill that they can provide, that's very valuable. You know, and I think everyone has some sort of skill, whether it's a hobby or a career, where they could give back in some way to any organization. Right. Or whether it's just donating. But I think it's a little more, it's better to get involved physically because you get that perspective.
Right. And what do you think about your dad in terms of what he's been doing for all these years?
Careful.
Well, are you guys in the same car?
Yeah.
That's a trick question.
It's impressive. And I remember years back when he was trying to set up the New Jersey thing and it was close to happening, and he was telling me all about that. So I think it's impressive that he tried to go take the further step and set it up here at home, although it didn't work out, but it was a good effort.
Yeah, you know something, though, Dr. Zach, I don't mean to embarrass Dr. Glenn, but it takes a special person like your dad to be so committed and just to give back and help others. A lot of people, unfortunately, they're caught up in their own little world, and they really don't understand the importance of giving back, how much you get out of it. So you're very blessed to have a wonderful, you know, father here who's a really great role model. I look back at my own life and how my late parents impacted where I am today because I saw the examples they set. So not to pontificate, but just to say that, you know, you're very blessed and fortunate. But similarly, the good Dr. Glenn is very fortunate and blessed to have a son, Zach, Gregory, and Rachel. And today we're talking with Dr. Zach. But Dr. Glenn, what's it like when you see, because, you know, you see the world different as you get older, right?
Sure.
A little more maturity. You get your butt kicked a little bit more. You see what's good, what's bad. You get bamboozled. You pick yourself up. Things happen. You may have never been bamboozled. It happens to me. But the point is, what is your perspective now watching the young man, young Dr. Zach, growing up and really doing what I would say is the right thing?
Well, I think it's great. I mean, you know, you as a parent, I've said this before, your goal, your job is to teach your children and let them emulate you. My kids, like a lot of kids around here, grow up and I call it Disneyland. They don't see the rest of the world. You know, everything is here, everything you need, everything's paid for, it's great, blah, blah, blah. So I said to myself, you know, I need to ground my children a little bit. And that's why I said, hey, let's go down to Tennessee. I want you to see how the other half of this country lives. And as a result, and as you could see, it makes an impact. It can't not make an impact when you see people suffering like that in your own country. So I'm very proud and I'm very glad that, you know, all of my children have gone and they've all benefited. They've remembered things about it and certainly is going to change the course of their life. And as they get older, they start to volunteer and they start to give back. So it's a great legacy.
Right. And also, you know, Dr. Zach, you're going to be married, I believe, next year. And this is something that hopefully you'll pass on to your children. It's just the gift of giving.
Yeah.
Because I think it'll be so much more rewarding for them and through their life, but also as a parent, how it'll make you feel. Dr. Glenn Gulson, I want to ask you the same question because you have a certain perspective. You have advice for the listeners in terms of volunteerism and giving back and lifting up the community, making the world better?
Well, yeah. My advice is just to do it. You know, so like Dr. Zach said, I mean, I just saw a friend of mine just spend a whole day at the community food bank in Hillside packing up things. Or you can be working with an organization that you don't have to be a dentist, physician, optometrist. You can do anything. You don't have to have any specific field to go out. And there's food pantries right here in Morris County.
Right.
You know, so just if you just volunteer, just do your thing, whether it is financial. I think financial is fine as long as, you know, a great portion of the funds are going to the source. A lot of these organizations, you know, it's a business. So, you know, donate to something that, you know, 99%, 98% goes to the charity, or physically do. And that could be hands on, or that could be working in any facility that helps others. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I was thinking as I was getting ready today for the show about Dr. Glenn, your energy, your vitality. I don't mean to make you feel tired now, but I know for the work that you do, because it is physically demanding, and I know as we get through life, I was reading about how important it is to stay in shape. It's great for your brain, but also just for your outlook on life. I'm assuming, Doc, I mean, you're still committed to, you know, maintaining a level of fitness.
Absolutely.
Right. And do you find that to be important as you're getting a little bit older? I'm getting a little bit older, just to help kind of get you going.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's like a 3 to 4 to 1. You have to work out 4 times as much as you did when you were 20 to get the same results or less. But yeah, absolutely. You know, when you do dentistry, old, I don't know, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. Whatever you do all day long and your head is engrossed, you know, working out is your body's way of getting rid of all that stress, 100%. So,
right.
No question.
So, I mean, I was caught up, you know, just to kind of digress a little bit. The world of sports, because I think there's some analysis or analogies. Dr. Zach, you follow college basketball at all?
Yeah.
Are you caught up in this St. Peter's Peacock mania? Because it's hard not to be.
I'm pulling for him.
Yeah. As I know, Rutgers, unfortunately, you know, didn't go too far, which
Jersey,
I still saw the Rutgers jacket on. But the point is, in sports, there's competition, right? And you never know, right, until you get on the court or you put your hat in the ring, right?
Yeah.
And I thought it's really exciting to see the enthusiasm for a small little team. It's like 2,000 students, and they're making so much noise. What was your thoughts on that as they're progressing?
It's cool to see because most people probably didn't even realize they were playing a game in the tournament. They figured they'd lose to Kentucky, and that's it. But everyone, especially the Jersey people, are kind of – coming together and rooting for a common cause. So it's fun. So hopefully they keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope they do. I mean, I know each time they win, it shocks more and more people.
Everyone likes the underdog too. So,
I believe so. In life, they do. Dr. Glenn, about you, I know that you love your sports. I mean, candidly, I mean, you live and die Scarlet Knights, the Rutgers. I know. I saw the ensemble and surprised it was on today, but you have that wonderful sweatshirt on. What was your thoughts when you watched St. Peter's, you know, keep on advancing? Now they're in the Elite Eight, and you're saying, what are you saying to yourself?
Well, first of all, I had to get over. There was a few days of mourning after Rutgers lost to Notre Dame. It was a tough loss. Really tough. But then, you know, moving forward, I think it's a sensational story. I mean, I'm actually going to watch the guy. Normally, I wouldn't even pay attention to it unless Rutgers was in. But this is like a phenomenal story. It's a feel-good story. It's like the Bad News Bears, you know. So let's see. I mean, it'd be amazing. Even if they don't win tomorrow, it's still a great story.
Yeah, you know, just bringing it back to the show and the purpose of why I do these shows is It's about people getting involved and putting the commitment in and getting off the sideline and in the game of life, right? Because people are like, oh, my God, what's going to happen? Am I going to win? Am I going to lose? People are afraid. And that's something about life. People have to put their hat in the ring and they got to give a shot at it, right? So like St. Peter's is playing now really for the great state of New Jersey because everybody's like, oh, my God, like jumping on the bandwagon.
Sure.
But for the players and the coach, they're believing, they're putting their best on the court. And in life, if you put your best in, win, lose, or draw, you have nothing to be ashamed about, right?
Correct.
And the same thing with your involvement with volunteerism. You guys made a commitment years ago. You didn't know what it was going to be like. You didn't know where you'd be today, you know? So before I close our wonderful show, Dr. Glenn, I want to say, you know, you've been a great friend of mine. I'm proud to know you. You know, you're a good guy. And people probably don't know really what a special person you are to really do what you're doing. And you're doing it really just trying to do the right thing. And that means a lot, Dr. Glenn.
Thanks.
And in terms of just anything else you want to add about your perspective on how it's enriched your life, being involved all these years, just not worried about Dr. Glenn Goldstein, which obviously I understand you have to provide for your family and you care and love and protect your family, but to care about the community. Is there anything that you've gotten out of it enriching your life at all?
Oh, it's just totally fulfilling. I mean, you know, you're like Dr. Zach said, you're in an office, you know, all day long and you got beautiful lighting and beautiful chairs and beautiful wallpaper and, you know, wonderful. And, you know, somebody comes in and says, can you take out one tooth? And you're like, yeah, one, because like I just took out 28 on somebody the other day. So it's super rewarding. I said to you before, these people are beyond appreciative. In fact, interesting story. I had a guy, not this year, but last year. He was a really nice guy. I think he wasn't down and out, but he had a bad. He was a climber, and he fell down a mountain and he got paralyzed. And he saw me like 2 years ago, and I took out a bunch of his teeth, and he came back the year later, and he requested me. Now, I mean, that's just an awesome thing that he would remember me. I made an impact on him so much that he requested me to treat him again. So I just think it's the whole experience is awesome. You never forget. I mean, you touch people. The look in their eyes when they look up at you, and they cry. And they're not crying because they're in pain or they're sad. They're tears of joy. Can you imagine how bad these people are hurting? Imagine if I took all your teeth out and you were happy.
I don't like the idea. I don't
know. I understand. But that's this is the impact, you know, even though you would never want to do this to anybody, it's a tremendous impact that you're helping these people in a way that's immeasurable.
Well, let me just say this, Dr. Glenn and Dr. Zach Goldstein, again, really keep up doing what you're doing. I really think you're setting a shining example of what's right in the world. And just remember, even though you may not hear it, God bless you both for what you're doing. It really means a lot. I wanted to conclude also, next week we got a wonderful guest, Dr. Michael Ingber. He's really involved, one of the founders of Growing Hearts of Africa. He's a wonderful urogynecological expert right here out of Morristown Medical Center. He has innovative, groundbreaking procedures, and he's using his God-given talent to make the world better, too.